When we bring new drivers in and we're training them for the first time, they are typically a little surprised about the lifestyle. Over the road, you're living out of your truck. It's like a studio apartment on wheels. You've got a refrigerator, you've got your bed, you've got a TV and a microwave, but sometimes you're kind of living out of truck stops or rest area, or maybe you're spending the night at the customer. Some guys love this, right? It allows them to go see the country, and there's just kind of a sense of freedom of it and not knowing one day to the next what they're gonna do. There's a little element of surprise. Whereas others may be able to plan a little bit better and be able to have a more of a Monday through Friday sort of job.
The trucking industry has changed a lot over the years, but one thing remains the same: the need for the people that wanna get behind the wheel. This is Random Acts of Knowledge, presented by Heartland Community College. I'm your host, Steve Fast. Today, we'll talk with Brendan Nussbaum, whose family started in the trucking industry decades ago, and today is working to help train new drivers to get behind the wheel and over the road.
My name is Brendan Nussbaum, and I'm with Nussbaum Transportation over here in Hudson, Illinois, and I'm the Director of Culture and Development, and I help oversee our professional development training, our actual training program for new truck drivers that come through that we hire on, driver relations, and help oversee the Trucking Academy as well with Heartland Community College.
So for those people that don't know, tell us a little bit about Nussbaum Transportation, what you do, the scope of the operation.
Yeah, absolutely. So Nussbaum Transportation has been around since 1945. My grandfather started it over in Fairbury, Illinois with one truck, and we moved over to Normal here in the mid-50s. And since then, we've grown from an LTL company over to a full over-the-road trucking company, as far as that goes. We have roughly 550 drivers. We hit all 48 states. The bulk of what we do is here in the Midwest, though, but we do hit just about every state otherwise.
What's the breadth of the transportation services you provide? Is it just about anything that people are looking to get things moved around, no matter what it is? Is it specific? Does it support a lot of agriculture since you're in the Midwest?
Yeah, great question. So we primarily, what we have is what we call dry vans, the enclosed box trailers that you might see going down the road. That's a bulk of what we have. So anything and everything. Some of the customers that we would haul for example, would be like GE Appliances, or we do a lot with Caterpillar here in the area. Rivian right here in our own backyard, we do quite a bit with those guys. And tires, a lot of industrial sort of products that we haul. Uline would be another big customer of ours. We recently just got into flatbed. I should say we've done a little bit here and there over the years, but we're starting to grow a little bit more with some different customers. And we've got about 30 drivers that do flatbed trucking.
Since your operations are so broad, are most of your drivers based right here in central Illinois, or do people live in other places?
Yeah, so we've got quite a few here in central Illinois, but then the drivers are spread out all throughout the country based on where we run, the different lanes that we haul. So a lot of big areas would be like through the Des Moines area, Chicago area, Atlanta, Dallas, the Northeast, York, Pennsylvania area. So again, yeah, pretty well spread out.
Talk a little bit about this unique partnership between Heartland Community College and Nussbaum Transportation. I know this has been going on a few years now, and there was a truck driving school that was based out of the college before this partnership started. Tell us a little bit about it and how it all got going.
Yeah, absolutely. So we connected with Heartland about 4 years ago now, and we had the opportunity to partner together. We talked through some of the different logistics and what we could offer as a professional truck driving program and the transportation background that we've got as well, and felt like it would be a good matchup to partner with Heartland. You guys have been around a really long time, and we wanted to be able to help provide a service and give back to the community. And we felt like this was a great way to do that and help educate, teach the new drivers that are coming into the industry as well. And so we handle all the instruction side. We provide the equipment, and we do the skills training out of our office and our lot that we've got. Heartland helps do a lot of the administration side, paperwork, enrollment, tuition assistance, and so forth. And it's been a really good program so far. We've absolutely loved it. We've had a lot of good success from it. We love what we get to do with our partnership.
Are there a lot of programs or partnerships like this? I know I've seen other truck driving schools out mm-hmm. there. Do they tend to be just private operators? Are they tied in with organizations like yours?
Yeah, good question. So a lot of what there is out there is private. You may have a community college that's on their own. And then there's some bigger trucking companies out there that have their own truck driving training program as far as that goes. So yeah, it's spread out just a little bit more. We feel that our partnership works the best. We feel like that there's a knowledge and understanding that we can bring to the table, but then the partnership side with the community college and what the community college can offer students coming in as well, outside of just the truck driving side. And maybe it's another additional certificate on top of what they're doing to kind of help add to their knowledge and what they're doing and striving to work for.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the job picture on that. First of all, is there a large need right now? Is there a shortage of truck drivers?
There's definitely a big need for sure. We have an aging workforce and the truck driving side, and we definitely feel like we need to bring in younger students, younger folks to help be a part of this and help keep truck driving going. It's going to be there for a really long time. There's a need there. We feel like there's definitely a lot of opportunity and job growth within that. And trucking is so fragmented. There's so many different jobs that a person can do once they get their CDL. You can drive an enclosed van like we talked about. You can do flatbed. You can haul refrigerated. You can haul a tanker, hauling gasoline. Intermodal is another one. There's so many different opportunities. And some are over the road. Some are more regional where you're home, you know, every few days. And then there's home daily positions as well that are out there. Just kind of depends on what you're looking for and what your niche is. So
now with all of that and the different sizes and modes, does a CDL license like you'd get in this truck driving school cover a lot of that, most of it? Do people need to get additional things or maybe not even get that to have some of these jobs?
Yeah, good question. So it'll get them pretty far. There are, trucking companies out there that will require maybe a hazmat endorsement because you have to have an endorsement for hauling certain types of freight out there across the interstate. You may need a tanker endorsement, like we talked about, if you're hauling gasoline or milk, for instance, or you know anything that you might find in a big liquid bulk trailer, you would need an endorsement for. So it just there's also triples endorsement. You might see on I-80 going across UPS, FedEx, we'll haul these three smaller trailers, yeah. But it's super long. Going down the road, you have to have an endorsement for that as well. We don't have that necessarily at the school, but yeah, there are other opportunities for a person to get that certificate and endorsement.
What do people not know about this industry right now? Has it changed? Have things really altered than they were, say, you know, when your grandfather got started?
Yeah.
What's modern trucking like?
Absolutely. The one thing, for instance, is the type of equipment that's out there now, the technology that's out there now. There's a lot of safety aspects to the truck now. There's collision mitigation. There's lane keep that you'll find in them now. That's newer within the last 4 to 5 years. And there is inward and outward facing cameras as well. Not necessarily sometimes those often get a negative picture about, well, the company's just watching me and doing, you know, trying to see what I'm doing and catch me in my bad habits and so forth. But it's not. It's really to help protect them, teach them, help develop them as far as that goes. A new feature that we actually that we're trying out right now on our side on New Spawn Transportation is there's some AI technology that is looking at the different signs ahead. It might sense that there's a stop sign up ahead and it's actually slowing the truck down ahead of time if the driver's not hit the brakes as soon as the technology thinks that it should. We haven't rolled it out yet, but it's just something that we're trying. So the technology side has definitely come a long ways as far as that goes. That would definitely be.
And you look at the safety features that are on just passenger cars, and it seems like it'd be even more beneficial to have those in commercial trucking just mm-hmm. because if something happens, not only is that potentially injury, loss of life, but it can disrupt your whole business as
Absolutely.
Well. This is something that I've wondered about, speed controls. Do mm-hmm. some trucks have caps on how fast they can go?
They do. Our trucks actually do have those as well. So we can go into the computer settings and hook the truck up to a computer, get into the settings, and we can set the speed limit to what we want. A lot of the trucks come right out of the factory at 70 mile an hour. We govern ours actually at 65. And then for 20 minutes a day, they can go 67. So we do that to potentially help them catch up just a little bit if they're running behind or get around another slow-moving vehicle to help them keep moving.
Yeah, as a driver, you probably want to choose those 20 minutes wisely.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Earlier, you mentioned the idea of getting younger people into the trucking industry, and there is something that you started in conjunction with this Heartland program not too long ago, and the Area Career Center, the Bloomington yes. Area Career Center here, where part of this training is to get high school students, career center students, into get them their CDL license and the training. Mm-hmm. And I know that in Illinois, there are limits on the ages of what you can do with that CDL license. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, a little bit. So as it stands right now, the way that the rules are made up, actually all across the country as far as that goes, anyone that's aged 18 to 20 years old cannot cross state lines. So if I've got my license at 18, a Class A CDL, all I can do is pick up and deliver freight within the state of Illinois. As far as that goes, once I turn 21, then I can apply for an exemption. I can go to the DMV and get a couple things changed, and then I can go anywhere in the U.S. as far as that goes. There is a pilot program that the FMCSA rolled out here a few years ago, not currently active, but hoping to get it revived again. It's called the Safe Driver Apprentice Program. And what this did was allowed certain trucking companies that met certain criteria, you know, certain equipment, certain types of trucks, certain safety equipment, they passed a background check. They would be allowed to take a student right out of CDL school at 18, 19 years old, and they would be able to go and train and go across state lines and just act like any other, you know, 21 and older truck driver would be able to. Unfortunately, it didn't get as much participation as what they had wanted. NUSPOM actually participated in it. We had 8 students go through the program and had really good success. We did not have any sort of issues at all. We felt like everything went well. If you've got a good training program and you got your T's crossed and your I's dotted and doing things the right way and making sure this person's got the support and training that they need, that they can do it, you know, just fine as far as that goes. We are big advocates of it. There is a possibility here, I believe in September, that they could pass legislation to extend this again and give it another shot. There's a lot of push to try and make this happen as far as that goes. So again, you can still drive a truck once you're 18. You're just a bit more limited, unfortunately, to what you can do until you're 21.
What are the types of jobs for those that does not get extended? They might not be able to start their full career until mm-hmm. they're 21, but if they do want to work in the industry without license at age 18, what sorts of things would they do? And is there a demand for that?
Yeah, good question. So a person can go and work for a farmer here locally, haul grain out of the field into the grain bins. As far as that goes, a person can do something like Kuna Food Services, for instance, over near East Peoria. They hire 18-year-olds and they do food delivery to restaurants and so forth. GFL is another one. They do trash and garbage hauling. A person can go drive a concrete truck. They can. There's food and beverage companies here locally that will hire 18 as well. So there's a few different opportunities.
Talk a little bit about agriculture and the jobs that are related to agriculture. Obviously, there is that grain hauling, and I imagine that that's a lot of seasonal work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So on the ag side, again, a person is a bit more limited when they're 18, unfortunately, when it comes to even some of the things that they can haul, like fertilizer, any sort of like chemicals that a farmer may need in that regard. There is some livestock hauling that they can do within the state at that age. It just depends on availability when it comes to those jobs and knowing some farmers that might be able to put you to work seasonally in that regard.
One of the things that I think every industry has to grapple with is hiring and retention as mm-hmm. well. So one of the things that I imagine you approach anybody that you might be hiring to be a driver, you'd also maybe want to say, if you're considering getting the license, these are the things you need to know about the industry, because you don't want to have a lot of turnover. You mm-hmm. know, once you get somebody hired, it's nice if they work for a while for you instead of having to continually do that process. What would you suggest people that are interested in getting into this know about the jobs in the industry and the traits that they might have to be successful and to really take to this?
Absolutely. If I was telling someone new what to expect and what to look for in that regard and what they would need to bring to the table, the first thing that I would probably share with them is try to figure out what they might be interested in. Again, there's a big difference between local running, regional running, and over-the-road running. When we bring brand new drivers in, we're primarily over-the-road truck driving. I'd say about 60% of our drivers are over-the-road, and the rest are either regional, they're home every few days, or they're home daily. When we bring new drivers in and we're training them for the first time, they are typically a little surprised about the lifestyle that OTR can be, for instance. And so it can be a bit of a challenge. You know, I work 7 to 4:30 every day, and I go home at night, right? And maybe that person had that prior coming in. Well, an over-the-road driver could be starting their day one day, you know, Monday morning at 3 a.m. and then they're done at 3 p.m. Then they may have to take a 10-hour break, and then they get up the next day and start their day at 5 or 6 or 7. It just kind of depends on the load that they've got and the customer requirements for the load. There's a lot of variation when a driver will start and end their day on the OTR side. So I would say one of the big things is knowing a little bit about the lifestyle. Do some research on the lifestyle, right? Over the road, you're living out of your truck. It's like a studio apartment on wheels. You've got a refrigerator, you've got your bed, you've got a TV and a microwave, but sometimes you're kind of living out of truck stops or rest area, or maybe you're spending the night at the customer. Some guys love this, right? It allows them to go see the country, and there's just kind of a sense of freedom of it, and not knowing one day to the next what they're going to do. There's a little element of surprise. Whereas others may be able to plan a little bit better and be able to have a more of a Monday through Friday sort of job in that regard. So be open to change. Communication is huge. Being proactive. You're kind of the captain of your own ship when you're in the truck. There's not someone right there with you watching behind your shoulder what you're doing in your every move. So there's got to be a little bit of independence. There's got to be kind of a sense of, I've got this huge truck and trailer that I'm responsible for the day. I've got this customer's freight on the back end, and I'm going to own this. I'm going to take it, and I'm going to deliver it safely. You know, I'm going to do things the right way and get it from point A to point B and move on to the next thing. So yeah, paying attention to detail, being adaptable, good communication, good customer service, meeting the customer with a friendly smile. Because you are advocates for the company out there on the road, right? And you're helping build relationships, and customers very much notice that sort of thing.
One final thing I wanted to ask you about, you touched on all the differences in technology that we've seen in the trucks and their safety throughout the years. But where do you see, honestly, the future of these jobs in this industry going in the next couple of decades? I mean, We've seen the rise of electric vehicles. We've seen hybrid vehicles. We've seen, you know, all sorts of fluctuations in energy costs and fuel costs. And of course, anybody out there is always going to be looking for some new way to transport things if they can do it more cheaply. There's even talks about drones delivering for Amazon,
sure,
things like that. As a company, and as you look at what your hiring needs are going to be, where do you see these things going in the next couple of, in the next few decades?
Yeah, absolutely. A few decades from now, it's hard to say. You know, they're continuing to develop alternative fuels, and there's all this talk about autonomous. In that regard, I think there will still be a need for truck driver for a long time. Right now, they're piloting trucks down in Texas and out west, driverless trucks, I should say, that are long stretches of interstate, and, you know, seeing how these things go. I think it's going to be really difficult to get into the bigger city with a truck and trailer without a driver there in that regard. So I feel like there's a lot of work that still has to be done to develop that sort of technology. There's a lot of risk as far as that goes. And what happens when the truck breaks down? Who's at fault if it gets in an accident? A lot of things to work through. We feel like there could be some elements to have an autonomous, but we still feel like we're going to need, for what we do, we're still going to need drivers to help. Maybe they get in between two destinations that are right off the interstate, right? But then we're going to have a truck driver there ready to take the trailer the rest of the way into the city then at that point and make the delivery and come back out in that regard. As far as some of the alternative fuel sides, we looked at electric. Pretty neat concept, but the infrastructure is not there yet. You hear Tesla, you hear some of these other companies that are trying to make electric trucks. They're out there, but there's a pretty big cost, and the infrastructure's got to be there in order to do this. And the range for these trucks are not very far either. I think they're 300, 400 miles. That's pretty much it for the day, and they've got to come back and recharge, whereas one of our trucks can go a good 1,000, 1,100 miles on two tanks of diesel and, you know, keep moving during that entire time.
And the horsepower, I imagine, is a real issue too, because even though they've come pretty far in developing that electric technology, some of those vehicles are still pretty heavy. And if you're going to pull a load on it in addition, it's a big gap, I guess, between a pickup truck size and an 18-wheel size.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brendan, thanks so much for talking to us about the trucking industry and about this partnership between Nussbaum and Heartland Community College.
I appreciate the opportunity to share a little bit and to reach out, whether it's to the NTA Trucking Academy through the Continuing Education Department, or feel free to reach us at Nussbaum Transportation as well if you got further interest. And I would greatly appreciate the time to be here and share a little bit more.
Well, thank you. Brendan Nussbaum with Nussbaum Transportation, which partners with Heartland Community College for the Nussbaum Trucking Academy, joined us to talk about the trucking industry and getting new drivers. If you're interested in other interviews about technology, business, industry, and other topics, subscribe to Random Acts of Knowledge on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you heard this interview. Thanks for listening.